is not so well.
The screen is not so good?
No, now it's okay.
Okay. All right. You know what? We're going to just have to try our best. Okay, Rabosai. We're up to the Gemara. Let's go on a little in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Daf Hey Amud Beis. Apologize. Welcome everyone in person as well. Ketel Bishan. A little below the middle. Ketel Bishan. How did Moshe put the garments on Aaron and his sons? Ketel Bishan might have a habit. Says, who cares how he put the garments on Aaron and his sons? Whatever happened, happened. It's over and done with by now. Ela Ketel Bishan lost at level. No, I know whatever happened is over and done with. But how in the time of Tchias HaMesim, when the Aaron and his sons and Moshe come back, how will Moshe put the garments on them? Lost in love, Onami. Aaron of Moshe Mahim. Lost in love, when they come, they'll know, right? Why do we have to figure it out? We don't have to figure out what's going to happen when Moshe and Aaron are here. Ella, Ketzad Halbishan, the Mismar Kari. Rather, Ketzad Halbishan is in order to explain the Psukim. Now, I want to spend some time on those lines, but I just want to go to the next line for a second. Meaning, we need to know the answer, not for Allah HaLamaisa, but to explain the Pesukim. Pligi Barav Chiyav Rab Yochan, Echadim or Aaron Bechakuk, one of Echadim or Aaron of one of Bevasachas. One says, first Moshe put the garments on Aaron, then on his sons. The other one says that Aaron and his sons at the same time. Amar Abayi, Biksonis, Umitz Nefes, Kuli Amalo, Pligi, the Aaron Bechakuk, one of. No one argues, everyone agrees that the Ketonet and the Mitznefet Moshe first put on Aaron and then put on his sons. Ki pligi ba'avnet, the machloket is only about the avnet. Mandam or Aaron v'charkach banav dichtiv v'yichgor oto avnet, v'hadar ktiv v'yichgor otam avnet. The one that says Aaron first and then his sons is because in the Parsha Tzav it says he put the avnet on Aaron and then later he put the avnet on his son. So Aaron first and the son second. Mandam or Aaron Abanavas Achas, Dichsiv Chagarta Osam. However, the Mandavar says the Avnet was put on both of them at the same time. It's because in Parashat Tetzaveh, when he's commanded on the Milum, it says, V'chagarta Otam Avnet. It doesn't say to put the Avnet on Aaron first. Rather, it says, V'chagarta Otam Avnet, put the Avnet on both of them at the same time. Okay. That's the Machlokis. Now, I just want to make one aura that ties into our last year. Rashi and Tosafot, everyone already noticed, there's something missing from the Gemara, right? There are, I understand, you're not going to list 8 big day kahuna in this Gemara, because it's Aaron and his sons, and the sons only have 4, but we're not listing 4. We list Ketonet, we list Mitznefet, we list Avnet.
We lost you.
Last with the pants.
He did the lost elevation.
Something about the Mishnasayim.
Tayyib Ketonet Umitznefes, Lahachi Naka Ketonet Umitznefes, Shashav and Gadol the Head Yod. Right? He only lists Ketones and Mitznefes, which apply to both going Gadol and Kohen Head Yod. He's not going to list here the Tzitz and the Me'il and the Eichifon and the Choshin, they didn't both have them. That's fair. Umitznasayim, Lahut Sachlom. He doesn't have to say Mitznasayim. Why not? Darian Kodbin Lakol, Kedarmin Lakami, Menayim Shalom Yudavar Kodbin Lakhasayim, because they're first. Mitznasayim are for sure first. As it says, the Gemara Darshan is much later in our Masechet, that how do we know you're not allowed to put on anything before the Mechnasayim? The Gemara Darshan is in the second Perek, because the Mechnasayim, you al Besoro, when he only has his Basar, the first thing on his Basar has to be Mechnasayim, and everything else is on top of the Mechnasayim, not on top of bare Basar. So Rashi says, because Mechnasayim are first, they're not listed. It's not so clear to me what Rashi means, right? The Rishash can't figure out what Rashi means. So the Mechnasayim are first. I understand they're first. But shouldn't we still ask the question? Did he first put the Mechnasayim on Aaron and his sons at the same time? Or did he first put the Mechnasayim on Aaron and then put the Mechnasayim on his sons? So I don't fully understand what Rashi's getting at. Like, so what if the Mechnasayim are first? Why does that mean that they don't have to be listed here? Don't we have to know whether the Mechnasayim were on Rashi, we're like the Ksonis and Mitznefes that they don't argue, or whether the Mechnasayim are like the Avnet that they do argue. So, you know, Rashi, his explanation is a little unclear. His explanation is a little unclear, unless.
But from the continuation of the Gemara, that the whole thing is Avnet. Same thing applies to Mishnasayim as Bitznefet and Ketonet.
So from the continuation of the Gemara, it might seem that, you know, that they're only arguing about the Avnate, not the Mishnasayim and Ketonet. Maybe what Rashi means is that since the Mishnasayim have to come before the Ketones and the Mitznefet, like, it's obvious they go with the Ketonet and the Mitznefet. It's still a little unclear. Like, it's obvious they wouldn't be the same machluk about Avnate and Mishnasayim if the Avnate is last and the Mishnasayim is first. And Rashi is very clear by the end of the sugya that Avnate comes last. It's still a little unclear why. Maybe they argue about the first thing and the last thing and not about the two middle things. So I can't really figure out a Greek shot in Rashi unless you have to add things to Rashi that that are not in his words. But there are two other hesperim. Why, right? Why are Mechnasayim omitted in the Gemara? Says Rashi, Kodmin Lakol, because they come first. Well, I'm still not sure what the mashmaut of that is. Says Tosos, nearly Mishum de Mefarish, the Bain Tzavah bin Basiyah Aaron Kadem, and Mechlasayim, Loksiva, Lobatavah, Lobasiyah, because all these are based on the Psukim. They say they don't argue at the Mitznefes and the Ksones, because Bain Tzavah bin Basiyah, Tzavah bin Ketaveh, when the commandment, Asiyah bin Tzav, they're too clear that it was Aaron and then his kids. And they argue that the Avnei, because there's different mashmos in Parshat Tzav and Parshat Tzav. But Mechasai aren't written at all, so they're not in the Gemara. It says Tosos, because they're not written in the Chumash. I don't mean they're not written in the Chumash. I mean they're not written in the Chumash in these Parshios of the Chumash, right? In these Prakim, in Perikov Tess of Shemos, or in Perik Tess of, as we discussed last time. Because they're not written in the Chumash, therefore they're not found in the Gemara. Says the Rishash, a different shot, based on the Rabban al Torah that we mentioned, because there's a lot of chase at Hil Bishan, how Moshe put them on. So says the Rishash, that according to Rabban, it's Nicha, because according to Rabban, Moshe, lo Hil Bishan. Moshe didn't put them on, they put them on themselves. Okay, so that's why they were skipped in this Gemara.
The board is not readable.
Gemara skips them, or because the Gemara is only about
The board is not readable. I see it's on the side, and the one with the full board is empty.
There's nothing on the board.
No, he's take a look. He's a number. You see him on the. He's a number.
Hold on. Now can you see the board?
No.
What?
No.
I can see the board.
You see the board is empty.
We see an empty board.
Really?
Good. He hasn't written anything.
Oh, I have.
No, you have. So we're just getting a picture of the board. It's not. There we go. Now we see.
Now we see it.
Okay. I. You know this big machlokes you're showing whether or not you believe in magic? I'm starting to change my shita because I realize that there are forces at work here that we can't explain through scientific reasoning. Okay, Ravosai. So I just want to point out, to continue with last week's, the topic of last year, that in terms of understanding these, you can understand the Tosos and the Rishash, et cetera, in different ways. You can understand it as purely a technical point. Since it's not written in the Chumash, the Gemara didn't discuss it. Okay. Why? Stam. You can discuss it, and you can understand it based on the Rishash, the technical points. It's been Moshe Helbishan, and here Moshe wasn't Malbish. Therefore, the Gemara didn't discuss it. So I don't love that way of understanding it, but you could say that, you know, one way is just so technical excuse why the Gemara omitted it. After all, the Gemara is like following the literary style of the Chumash. Let's just think of one thing. Right? It's one way of understanding the Tosos and the Rishash, that since we're talking about Moshe Helbishan, so therefore it's a technical excuse why the Gemara omitted it, because Moshe wasn't Malbish. Or since it's not in the Chumash, technically the Gemara follows the literary style of the Chumash. But you might think more likely is that no. It is a They're trying to make a halachic point. What are they trying to say? Because it's not in the Chumash, therefore that proves that we don't care about the order, and the order doesn't matter at all. If the order doesn't matter at all, there's no point saying, do they both agree? Or do they argue with it in front of Vasachas? They don't say either. They don't agree and they don't disagree. There is no halachic commitment to the order. Halachic point. Because it's not in the Chumash, or because it's not Halbasha al Yidei Moshe, therefore the order doesn't matter at all. Therefore the order doesn't matter at all. And if the order doesn't matter at all, that's a good reason why it's skipped in our Gemara. Not just Stam, they have a technical excuse why it's skipped. It's skipped in our Gemara because they don't not argue about the order and they don't argue about the order. There is no order. Everyone can do whatever they want. It's not important how you put on the Mechnasayim. I can't prove that's what Tosos means, but Lechora, that's a better way to explain Tosos. I can't prove that's what the Rosh Hashanah means, but Lechora, that is the better way to explain the Rosh Hashanah. In which case, this just ties into our fakir from last time. If Mechnasayim is really the same as all other Big Day Kahuna, then the order should matter. And the order does matter, and just for some technical reason, our Gemara skipped it. But if Mechnasayim are not really the same as Big Day Kahuna, there's Big Day Kahuna, which are a positive kiyum, then Mechnasayim, which is just avoiding a negative pretzis of Gilui B'Sar Erba, then it makes sense that if it's just to avoid a negative and not a positive kiyum like the other Big Day Kahuna, as long as you have them, if you don't have them, it's a problem. Well, how do you say Mechnasayim? But as long as you have them, who cares how they got there? You know, that's just not important because there's no kiyum in how they're put on. You just need to make sure that you have them. So I think this might depend on our hakira from last time. If it, let's just call it what we called last time, right? One din of four begadim, then you'd say, it should have said, and there is an order. Right? There is an order, and of course the order is. What is the order? The order is Aaron v'achar kach banav l'kulei alma. There is an order. But they skip the order for some technical reason. But if you say this three dinim, one din of Big Day Kahuna, three Big Day Kahuna, and a second din of Klasayim, then it makes a lot of sense that there is no order for the Mechnasayim. There's no having the order for the Mechnasayim. You don't need to do nothing to discuss, because either you're wearing the Mechnasayim or you aren't. And if you're wearing the Mechnasayim, who cares how they got there? Okay, that's I wish I could prove which way Tosos meant, which way the Rosh Hashanah meant, but I think the two ways of interpreting this line in the Gemara depend on the Chakir we said last time.
If Tosos, can I ask a question or someone in Shir?
1 second. Jacob? That's a good point. If Tosos is saying technically we're only mentioning what's in the Pesukim, then the answer is since it's not a local mice, just to explain the Pesukim, we'll only go.
Can't hear him again. Does anybody have trouble hearing?
No, we can't hear. He's we lost him.
No one's hearing.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, now let's go back to the more interesting part. Asaf,
we lost you for the last 60 seconds.
I know. I know. I didn't say anything. I was trying to reestablish my connection.
Isn't there a daya that we saw? Isn't there a daya that we saw that ultimately, as long as Moshe is malbish otam or lebgadim, lemaisa, it's not a halacha, it's not a mitzvah. Which order it is?
We'll get to that. Okay, we'll get to that. But let's assume not that way for now. Okay. Let's assume not that way for now. Okay, Ravosai, let's go. Now, here's the question. The Gemara has this fascinating question. This has nothing to do with Mesechus Yom and Bisa Mikdash. This is more of a Talmud Torah question. My Dehava Hava. Is it worth discussing things that already happened and their history over and done with. What's the Gemara's assumption? The Gemara's assumption is that we don't discuss things that are just old news. Now, first, before we get to that, I want to stick with something in Yoma, which is, why does it bother me when I read this Gemara? I hope it bothered you when you got to this Gemara. Since Dalet Amud Beis, almost an entire blot, we've been discussing the Machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Hanina as to whether everything that's written in the Miluim is Ma'akev or everything that's written in the Miluim is not Ma'akev unless it's Ma'akev L'doros. Right? We've been discussing this theoretical Machlokes about what's Ma'akev in the Miluim. The Miluim were finished 3,300 years ago, approximately. Ma'ida Hava Hava. How come the Gemara never asked Ma'ida Hava Hava for the last blot of the Machlokes that call it Amr Beheg, and all of a sudden, when it comes to Kesed El Bishan, the Gemara asks Ma'ida Hava Hava. Like, why didn't the Gemara ask Ma'ida Hava Hava until now? Right? So, how come on Daf Dalet Amud Beis to Daf Hey Amud Beis, Kolakosov Bahem, Me'akev Bahen? There's no question. All of a sudden, Daf Hey Amud Beis, Kesed El Bishan, the Gemara asked, Ma'ida Hava Hava. How come the Gemara only asked it here and didn't ask it until now? I think it's a valid question. So, what is the Sfasemis answer? Who remembers the Sfasemis' answer? Why did the Gemara never ask it until now and only ask it now?
Sfasemis says there's enough to mean it.
Because here it says that Sfasemis, number one, Sfas Emes, there's no nafkamina nowadays to what order Moshe put the garments on Aaron during Shivas Megiluim. But there is a nafkamina whether Kolakosvim Akivim or not. How so? Because if you remember, Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan, what did Reish Lakish say to Rabbi Yochanan? He said to him, then priest of the Kohen Gadol should be Ma'akiv nowadays. Why should priest of the Kohen Gadol be Ma'akiv nowadays? Because Kasher Saba Yom Hazeh Tivashem Lasos L'chaper Leichem L'chaper Eilu Masi Yom Kippurim, just like Kasher Saba Yom Hazeh the Miluim is Ma'akev, so too on Yom Kippur is Ma'akev. So says the Sfasemis. Hold on a second. Right, remember the Machlokes of Chanina and Rav Yochanan. Whatever is Ma'akev L'Doros, they don't argue about it. It's Ma'akev the Miluim. Whatever is not Ma'akev L'Doros, they argue about. Is Prisha Ma'akev L'Doros or not? So that's sort of funny because Prisha L'Doros is learned from the Miluim and the Miluim is influenced by L'Doros. So where do we start? So he says this is the logical place to start. Until you get to the Miluim, there's no reason to think Prisha is Ma'akev. Because there is no Prisha L'Doros except what's learned from the Miluim. So it's really not Ma'akev L'Doros. Is it Ma'akev the Miluim or not Ma'akev the Miluim? That's the Machlokes of Yochanan and Chanina. The nafkamina of that is Yom Kippur. So he says there is a nafkamina nowadays. How so? It's like this. According to Rabbi Yochanan versus according to Rabbi Hanina. According to Rabbi Yochanan, right, he's the one who holds Kolakosa Behem Ma'akev. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Prisha is Ma'akev Ma'akevus Bimiluim. According to Rav Hanina, it's not Ma'akevus. And therefore, according to Rav Yochanan, since we learned Kasher Asaba Yom Hazeh, Prisha is Ma'akevus B'Yom HaKippurim. And according to Rav Hanina, Prisha Eina Ma'akevus B'Yom HaKippurim. So there is an afkamina nowadays. Through the limit of Kasher Asaba Yom Hazeh, so nafkamina is Prisha Ma'akevus B'Yom HaKippurim, not big nafkamina nowadays. That's why I didn't say Ma'ida Hava Hava. Within the Shakotari Daf Heyam and Aleph, they took as a Dover Pasha that Prisha is not Ma'akev nowadays. So Sfas Emes says, notice, that was according to Reish Lakish, you take it as Pasha, Prisha is not Ma'akev nowadays. Because you don't have any Kasher Saba Yom Hazeh. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, whether or not it's Ma'akev nowadays depends on Rabbi Yochanan and all the people like him who learned Kasher Saba Yom Hazeh, whether or not it's Ma'akev nowadays depends on whether it's Ma'akev in the Miluim. As a matter of fact, I would have said maybe a little different than Sfas Emes. When the Gemara in Daf Hamad Aleph assumes that Prisha is not Makiv nowadays, the language is okay. Oh, fair enough. Okay, leave that. Anyway, that was only Reish Lakish talking, says not Makiv nowadays. It wasn't Kuli Alma talking. Okay, it's a little duck. Okay, you have to say it wasn't Kuli Alma talking Daf Hamad Aleph. But that's the Sas Emesis Chiddush. Sas Emesis Chiddush, that the Nafmina is where the Prisha is Ma'akev nowadays. Okay. And then, exactly, he would have a support in Rishon of the Rimi Lunel, who says, according to Yochanan Taka, is Ma'akev. In which case, the Rimi Lunel is the same boat on that Hamanov says not Ma'akev. Well, that must be just the other day of talking, but not Rabbi Yochanan's day. Right? So the Rimi Lunel, look over, would say the same thing. What? Maybe. Okay. Yeah. No, because that wouldn't help, because the Gemara asks and then answers the Mitzvah Krai. So they should have asked then an answer. No, but that's not, but the plus Rishon of the Mitzvah Krai means no nafkaminas. That's what, at least that's what many of the Rishonim assume, right? Like I'm going to assume the Mitzvah Krai means no nafkaminas. Okay. The second answer, that's a Sas Emes. Okay. Big finish. And again, it only works if you come out like a Rimi Lunel, saying that according to Rabbi Yochanan, Taka, Prisha is Ma'akif. Okay. Second answer I have here is the Tashbeis. The Tashbeis, since a lot of time, okay, you'll have to excuse his acerbic language. He is this whole siman of Tashbeis. He's some guy he really doesn't like whatsoever, if you read the whole siman, who says things he really doesn't like whatsoever. Prisha's going to get on Yom Kippur, and he's killing him. One of the things he does is totally disprove the Sas Emes. Obviously, the Tashbeis was 400 years before the Sas Emes. But he says, no, it can't be the Rabbi Yochanan's Prisha is Ma'akev. Prisha is definitely not Ma'akev. Give me a break, et cetera, et cetera. So why didn't they ask my Dehavahava? He brings a big fiddish in our sugya. What's his big fiddish in our sugya? He says that he is a new hezber in my dehavahava, the Tashbeis. He says this was a halachic question, which is no longer relevant. But it's still a halachic. It's still a halachic question. Is everything that's written in the Megillah Ma'akev or not Ma'akev? It's taka halachic question. It might not be relevant for the last 3,300 years, but it's halacha. You always have to know halacha whether it's relevant or not. Right? You have to know halacha. Maybe there's never going to be a Ben Sora Remora, but you still have to know the halacha. He says, and it's the Bikkurish, he says, by us, it's not a halachic question. I think this is a Kiddush. Morty, if you see that someone's making background noise, please mute them.
I'm not sure. You didn't make me host.
Now I did. I hope. The Tash is a big Kiddush in our sugya. This is a Kiddush. This is a Kiddush. Is our sugi about the halacha of how Moshe has to be malbish them, or just stam about the story? Meaning, does it make a halachic difference? I want to be mechadish, a whole chiddush, which I had no explicit written makor for, that it makes no difference halachically how he's malbish mechnasai. Here, he wants to say more. Actually, it makes no difference halachically how he's malbish anything. It makes no difference what order he's malbish. We just want to know how the story happened. This is a chiddush in reading our sugya. Chiddush in our sugya is that it's not a halachic question. Just a historical question. Meaning, there's no halachic requirement to put the begadim on in a certain order. It's just we're interested in knowing how it happened. That's a big fiddish in our sugya. There's no halachic requirement. We're just interested in knowing how it happened. Right? Big fiddish. What do we mean that L'asud lavo, we want to know if it's not a halachic requirement. What does he mean? It's not halachically required to do in this order. Just That's how it happened. When Hashem said that Tzivin Lulim Chavtes, he meant halachically put them on however you want. But here's a suggested way that I think might be a reasonable idea. And the question is, what did Moshe do? It's a big kiddush saying our Gemara is not the halacha put them on a certain order. We're just wondering how it worked out. Oh, what does the Gemara mean when the Gemara then says, there's an afkamina for lasid lavo after tchias amesim. After all, it's not a halacha requirement. So who cares what it'll do after tchias amesim? So l'chori, he has to agree with the Chazon Ish. Says the Chazon Ish, it's on here someplace. He says, k'sheyichyu hamesim, and Moshe will have the kavod of being Malbish Aaron and his sons, and it's a big chavivos that'll do it like in the Miluim. Meaning, it's not that Moshe halachically has to be Malbish them a certain way. No, it's just that it'll be a big chavivos to do it similar to the way in the Miluim, so we're curious to know how it'll happen. Again, I think that's a big chiddush. Pashta says, no, whatever it says in the Chumash is a halacha. It's a halacha, one-time halacha, but it's a halacha. But he seems to say it's not a halachic question. It's just a question of how it happened. I'll read it again. His Eino Elo Sefer Maisa Shaykh Haikoshia. Vamos Moshu Mitzvah Lo Shaykh. Tafdalan of Bez is a mitzvah. Over here it's just Sefer Dvarim and Sefer Dvarim. Then you can ask my Dehava Hava. Yes. As opposed to just how it worked, Lechor, I think what he's saying is that Moshe was not obligated to do a certain order. We're just curious what order he did. Like, really, the order was Lavdavka halachically. He just had to do some order. We're curious what order he did. Right? It says not a mitzvah. Right? Ah, Hashem told him. You have to say, no, not everything Hashem says is Davka. It's a big chiddush, I think. I wanted to say something different based on the Ramban. What does the Ramban say? Says the Ramban Azoy. The Ramban says that, we mentioned this once, during the Shivas Mei Miluim, what was sanctified in the Shivas Mei Miluim? Anyone? What was sanctified?
Mizbeach and the Kohanim.
The Mizbeach and the Kohanim. Right? Shivas Yamim Techaper al HaMizbeach Vayam Shivas Yamim Techateas HaMizbeach V'chipart Olav, something like that. Vayam Mizbeach Kodesh Kodshim Kolon Ogeah B'Mizbeach Yikdash. So clearly there is a hakdasha of the tivashim and tachapar l'mizbeach v'kidashto. So sorry, v'kidash is hamizbeach, v'yam mizbeach kodesh kadashim kolam gam mizbeach yikdash. He was mekadesh the mizbeach. The Ramban also assumes he was mekadesh the mishkan. It never says explicitly, thou shalt sanctify the tabernacle. But nonetheless, since we see that as part of this ritual, for example, what do we see was done as part of this ritual? It's not a proof, but we do have, give me a half a second. Maybe we don't have an absolute proof, but the Ramban assumes as well, okay, you could take it, you could leave it, Beseder.
You have the Pasuk in Yechezkel.
Yeah, but not up to that. Good. Oh, in Sav, in Perikles, in Sav, Tzvi points out that exactly. Vayikach Moshe Hashem in the Mishkan, vayimshech the Mizbeach with Kol Asher Bo, vayikadesh Osam. Okay, vayikadesh the Mishkan and Kol Asher Bo. Fine. So you have the Mishkan and the Mizbeach. We'll put those on one side. One could be Mechalik. The Ramban is having Mechalik, but in the end, he equates them. And, of course, you have the Kohanim. That's the bigger focus, probably, Sukkim-wise. So you're Mekadesh the Mishkan, you're Mekadesh the Kohanim. Says the Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvos here, right? This is the Ramban in Shoresh Gimel. What's Shoresh Gimel of Sefer HaMitzvos? Anyone know what Shoresh Gimel is? Shoresh Gimel of Sefer HaMitzvos, right? What are the Shoreshim of Sefer HaMitzvos? It's all the Rambam's requirements, conditions, what counts as a mitzvah, what doesn't. Right, and it's mostly coming lafuki from the Bahag, other going on as well. The Bahag counts lots of things as mitzvahs. That the Rambam doesn't think counts as mitzvahs. And what is Shoresh Gimel? Only Lidoros. Only something that's knowing Lidoros counts as a mitzvah, not something that's knowing on a one-time basis. Okay, seems logical enough. And the Rambam says, therefore the Bahag is dead wrong when he counts the Miluim as a mitzvah, because that was only a one-time occurrence. Says the Ramban to defend the Bahag, He says, ma pitom, ma pitom. He says it was not a one-time occurrence. Now again, to count the mitzvah ledoros doesn't have to be an everyday occurrence. It should be something that can happen again and again, even if it happens only once every millennium, right? Even if it happens, it doesn't matter. It can happen very rarely. It can actually never happen. As long as theoretically it's something that could happen in any time, and in any time, that's a mitzvah ledoros. Right, it's a mitzvah to appoint a king. We haven't done it in a long time, but it's still a mitzvah, right? The says the Ramban, no, miluim is a mitzvah. It's not a one-time mitzvah, the miluim. It's a mitzvah ledoros. Every time you have a new mikdash, you have to do miluim. Ledoros, every time you have a new mikdash, so they did miluim once in the mitzvah, and then they didn't do it for a long time. But then when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaBachir in Yerushalayim, the Beis Olamim, he did another miluim. We know that he did miluim in Malachim Aleph or Ches, wherever it is. He did another miluim. Not only that, the Gemara says they did miluim in the days of Ezra. When the Bais Rishon was hired and they built the Bais Sheni, they did miluim again. And the Choro and the Bais Shlishi, they'll have to do miluim again. And this is, it theoretically, it's something that could happen an infinite number of times through history. So it could be that the way history works out, there won't be more than three Beis HaMikdashes in Yerushalayim. But theoretically, that's not a halachic point, right? Theoretically, I don't know, the Beis HaMikdash would be built in Yerushalayim every Monday and be Chariv every Thursday and then built again next Monday, and you could do the Milum all the time. I mean, I didn't get enough time. Fine. They're built every spring and Chariv every fall, and you could do Milum annually if you want. Right? So he says, therefore, Milum is a mitzvah ledoros. The Gemara in Sukkah says Milum is only a mitzvah l'shah, not ledoros. So Ramban says, no, there's Sveidin, and there's two parts of the Milum. There's the Kedusha of the Mikdash, and there's the Mizbeach, which he put together, and there's the Kedusha of Aaron, of the Kohanim. What's the difference? Aaron and the Kohanim never need to be re-sanctified, at least not in Olam Hazeh, because the sanctity goes down with Doris the Kohanim. You can't have a Chilul and a Chorban of the Kohanim. Right? I mean, it gets passed down from father to son, right? I don't know if, who's the Kohen here? Three, you're a Kohen? No, Kohen. Okay, if someone here was a Kohen, maybe someone on Zoom is a Kohen. You're a Kohen because your father's a Kohen, because his father's a Kohen, his father's a Kohen, going back to Aaron a Kohen. And there's no halachic way for that to be destroyed. Therefore, by definition, there's no doros of Mimikadish the Kohanim. And that's what they meant in Sukkah, that in Gemara and Sukkah, that it's not ledoros. However, the Beis HaMikdash either could be destroyed and then rebuilt, or could be upgraded, like when Shlomo HaMelech upgraded from a Mishkan to the Mikdash. Okay, that can only happen once, upgrade from Mishkan to Mikdash, but then when the Mikdash is destroyed, it can be built again. And therefore, the inauguration of the Miluim of the Mikdash and the Mizbeach are Ledoros. The Miluim of the Kohanim are not Ledoros. That is what the Ramban holds. Now, that's what the Ramban holds. Yes, Sri. No, that's the point of the Kohen Gadol. What? No, that's only talking about when you have the Ma'arechet of the Mikdash and the Kohanim, etc., to add one more klisharei, sort of promote someone from Kohen Hedger to Kohen Gadol over the Asim Achan Chasol. But to make an entirely new mikdash, the Ramban says you need miluim. You could disagree. The Ramban could say this is adding one kli and making a new mikdash, right? That's reasonable. Anyway, lemaisa, what do I want to say? And then actually I found in the Aruch Baruch Yashav and Shasi, he wants to say this chat also, so Baruch Shekivanti, he wants to say, so if you like the pshat, then all right, if you like the pshat, it's really yashav. If you don't like the pshat, you can blame me if you want, because, you know, I take responsibility. But what could you say? All right, we'll give him credit. He's older than me. And bigger Talmud Chacham. Yosef Shalom El Yashiv, what? Today's his yard site. Whoa, look at that. I didn't know that at all. I promise I didn't know. Okay, so on his yard site are the Chavin to his pshat in the Gemara, but I really think the good pshat in the Gemara. There's one rough edge, but I think we can smooth it over. You could say, what's the difference? That Daf Hey Ketzet Al Bishan is clearly talking about the Hakdashas Hakohanim. And that is Eino no Heglodoros. That is not no Heglodoros. The Kohanim is once. Why? Because then it passes from father to son in the genes. Right? There is no new Akdoshus Kohanim. And even there's a Korban HaBayis. The Kohanim weren't Karev. Even Shlomo HaMelech upgraded from tabernacle to temple. The Kohanim didn't change. Right? The Kohanim can't change. Either you're Kohen or you aren't. That's, however, the Machlokas. Here's the one thing that I have to add. The one thing we have to assume, and this works for Tosos and not for Tosos Yishanim, Daf Hei, and Aleph, is that you have to, one assumption. The Machlokas, Rav Chanin and Rav Yochanan, is not only about the Kohanim. It's about the Mikdash as well. Okay, that this machlokas is, it's also about the Kohanim, about Hakdashas Kohanim, and also Hakdashas Mikdash Umizbeach, and this one is no Heglodoros al pi the Ramban. So you're making an assumption like the Ramban, that half of it is no Heglodoros, half of it isn't. That's not such a big assumption. Okay. That's Ramban. Seder, we're explaining LP the Ramban. Could someone disagree with the Ramban? Yes, the Rambam apparently disagrees with the Ramban and says there is no Milum Ladoros. Why is there a Gemara that hints that they did it in certain historical time periods? So the Achronim answer, the Ramban would say that special over a Shah, not a mitzvah. That meaning they weren't doing LP Alacha, they were doing LP Rosh Shah. But what my assumption is that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Hanina and Davdal and Rabbeis, the Heyam and Beis are not arguing only about the Hakdash of Aaron and Ubanov, even though it's a Cecil Aaron Lubanov Kacha, right? Even though they dash a Cecil Aaron Lubanov Kacha, they're not only arguing about the Hakdash of Aaron Ubanov and about things like Trisha and things like Reboy Shiva Mashiach Shiva. They're also arguing about the Hakdash Samikdash, and the Hakdash Samikdash depends on things like Smicha and Tnufa. And Smicha and Tnufa, they weren't only arguing whether it's Ma'akev and Aaron and his son's Kedusha. They were also arguing whether it's Ma'akev and the Mizbeach and the Mishkan, in which case, since they're also arguing about something that's knowing Ludoros, meaning you're right. The Nafkamina, they argue about Prisha Shiva and Reboy Mashiach Shiva, Lachor, that's only for Aaron, that's not knowing Ludoros. But the Nafkamina about Tnufa, that's knowing Ludoros. Ludoros, if you want to bring Miluim and be Mikadesh Mizbeach and be Mikadesh a new Beis HaMikdash, is this Smicha Ma'akev? Is it not Ma'akev? Par Chatasta, Sala Yom Kippurim. The Chifartolim is Beach, right? So does that Parchatos need Smicha or not? Miluim, does that Miluim need Tnufa or not? So I think you could say, even though clearly the main focus of Chanin Rabbi Yochanan is all about Aaron and his sons, but I think you could say they're not arguing only about Aaron and his sons, they're also arguing about the Mishkan and the Mizbeach, in which case they apply the Doros, as opposed to Chesed El Bishan, which is only about Aaron and his sons. It has nothing that directly relates to the Mishkan and the Zeach. I mean, it's not about any of the Karbanos that relate to the Mishkan and the Zeach. It's only about Aaron and his sons. And therefore, that's not knowing the Doros. So I think that's actually a maybe even the most straightforward way to explain, okay, what's most straightforward is subjective, most flatly. I think that's a good way to explain why the Gemara is bothered here and not bothered there based on the Ramban. Okay. Again, making two assumptions. One assumption is like the Ramban, right? This is assuming like Ramban against Rambam. And this is an assumption about their machlokas. But it's not a crazy assumption, like maybe not only for the Kohanim, maybe for everyone. The reason it's a Chiddush is because they darsh it from the Kach of Aaron. So you might think they're only arguing about being Kaddish Aaron. But no, maybe they're arguing about the entire Parsha. I think, again, so you will say, that works better for Tosus than for Tosus Yishanim. Tosus Yishanim says they're only arguing about things Aaron does. So then, l'chor, they're only arguing about Hakdash's Kohanim. Tosus thinks they're arguing about things that Aaron doesn't do. Then it's a little easier to say they're arguing about both. Works better for Tosfos than Tosfos Yishanim. Again, what I'm referring to is Tosfos Yishanim says they only argue about things that directly touch Aaron, and Tosfos assumes, no, theoretically, they'd argue even about things that have nothing to do with Aaron. And then he just figures out a reason why they don't argue about Taktoris Emurim and Shvichos Shiraim, etc.
Pinchas. What about Pinchas?
Hold on. What?
Pinchas, did he need Mashiach?
Did Pinchas need Mashiach? No, L'chora Pinchas was just Xeris HaKasav HaRasha. He didn't have this ritual. Okay, that's a special Xeris HaKasav. Effie asks, then why do you need a Lassid Lovel if it's not knowing the Doros? The Rambam was not bothered by that. He thought Lassid Lovel doesn't count as L'doros. L'doros has to be within Olam Hazeh. Lassid Lovel is Olam Hava. That's different. Okay, maybe it's not technically Olam Hava, but it's close enough. No, that might mean the living Kohanim, not the resurrected Kohanim. The Chor, the Morin Kedushas is about the living Kohanim. But what about the resurrected Kohanim? Let's get to that in a second. Okay, let's mention this Machlokas, then I want to get to Talmud Torah. What about La'asid Lavo? What does the Gemara assume? The Gemara assumes that La'asid Lavo, you need another Miluim for the Kohanim, right? La'asid Lavo, you need to repeat the Miluim. You need to repeat the, okay, La'asid Lavo, you need to repeat at the very least the Halbasha. Okay, need to repeat Halbashas Aaron Uvanav Al Yedei Moshe Rabbeinu. Why do you need to repeat that La'asid Lavo? Why La'asid Lavo, after all, does the Godel Hador need to do a special ritual of Halbasha to Kohanim throughout the generations? No, right? We don't find that in days of Shlomo HaMelech, you know, the Nasi Sanhedrin had to take the Kohen Gadol and be Malbashim. We don't find in days of Ezra, you know, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi had to take Yoshua Kohen Gadol and be Malbashim. Why, La'asid Lavo, do you need this new Halbasha? So here is a fundamental machlokas. This is a very fundamental machlokas. The fundamental machlokas is, what's the fundamental machlokas here? So machlokas at Tchias HaMeisim. They're not a philosophical machlokas at Tchias HaMeisim. What's the fundamental machlokas at Tchias HaMeisim?
To the hefsek and your wife, are you a new person?
Exactly. Are you a new person, or are you just continuing where you left off? Right, how does Tchias HaMeisim work? You pick up where you left off, you just took a pause, time out. Now the timeout's over. Back where we started, or no, you're a new person, right? Meaning, is Tchias HaMeisim like being born again? Or is Tchias HaMeisim just, pretending you didn't die? So this is a big machlokas. So one derech is, here's Tchias HaMeisim. So is it a new person? Or is it, just right, exactly. Continue where you left off. So if you think you're a new person, then how do you answer the question? If you're a new person, then the answer to why is, then Aaron Ubanov need to become Kohanim again. Okay, maybe become Kohanim is a little too strong, but they need to get Kedushas Kahuna again, right? Meaning Aaron and Banav are now they're human beings, right? But when Aaron and Banav were born, they weren't Kohanim, right? Because their father wasn't a Kohen, right? I mean, when his sons were born, their father wasn't a Kohen. When Aaron was born, his father certainly was never a Kohen. So since they weren't born to a Kohen, how did they get their Kedushas Kahuna? They got the Kedushas Kahuna not through their basic birth genealogical identity. They got the Kedushas Kahuna through a mice that gave them Kedushas Kahuna. Now that they died, they're a newborn baby. They're born again. Okay, now they don't have Kedushas Kahuna. They need to get Kedushas Kahuna again. This is the Shita of the Ramban. The Ramban holds after Tchias HaMeisim, you're a new person. His Lashon is very explicit. His Lashon is... What's his lashon? Look, v'yiyu anoshim mechudoshim yitzdarchu l'skadish kirishona. There'll be new people now. To answer Effie's question, apparently the fact that they will need a new milum kahuna la'asid lover after Tchias HaMeisim doesn't make it called the doros. Because things after Tchias HaMeisim are not called the Doros. After Tchias HaMeisim is a different world. That's what the Gemara says. L'chshivo, that's a different world. We're not, we don't learn halakha about Tchias HaMeisim. That's the Ramban. However, that's not the only possibility. What if you hold that Tchias HaMeisim? You're not a Noshim Mechudashim. Right, what's the Ramban's Lashon? Anoshim Mechudashim, new people. What if you're not new people? What if you're not new people? If you're not new people, then what's going on in our sugya? Right? So who answers that? What? The Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish gives two answers. Either the first answer of the Chazon Ish is, we mentioned earlier, right? After all, what about the Tashbeis? It's just a story. If it's just a story, then who cares anyway? The answer is, yeah, we're not discussing a halachic inyan here, according to the Chazon Ish. Or at least not Lasid Lavo. Yeah, and the Chazon Ish is not saying the Tashbeis. He's not necessarily committing himself that it wasn't, I doubt he would agree, that it wasn't a halachic inyan 3,300 years ago. But Lasid Lavo, it's not a halachic issue, says the Chazon Ish. You have to say that Aaron Ubanov are already Kohanim. It's just nostalgia. Right? Ah, Moshe and Aaron and Bonner will come back. And right, everyone, what did everyone Tchias HaMeisim? And Tchias Wal and Asim, we're going to go back to the glory days of Tchias HaMeisim. Some people say, Tchias HaMeisim, I don't know, I'm going to relive my chasna. I'm going to relive my trip to Antarctica. Whatever, I'm going to relive the biggest party I ever had. We hope for better than that. But I'm going to relive my son of Bet. But Moshe and Aaron and Banav, what's Tchias HaMeisim? You're going to relive the Miluim just for fun, right? What's Chazon Ish's Lashon? Okay, he doesn't quite use the word fun. But he says, Chavivos v'tigmol. It'll be a schar that a Chavivos, that he'll do it again like the old days. They're already Kohanim. So they just do the Halbasha for Chavivos. Meaning Hashem will show Chavivos, meaning Hashem's Chavivos. Hashem shows he loved Moshe and Aaron so much, he wants, let's do that again like we did in the good old days. Okay, but it's not necessary. It's just for fun. Okay, and that's the Chazon Ish's idea of fun. And he's correct.
But is he assuming that Moshe Rabbeinu is also going to come back?
This is the Chazon Ish. Give me 1 second.
Okay.
Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to come back to life. Aaron's going to come back to life, and Moshe Rabbeinu is going
to
come back to life.
And Moses
is going
to
dress them just like
the
old
roles.
Days. The same what?
They don't have to have the same roles again. They can come back, but
no, they do. He's assuming. I don't know. I don't know what they'll be when they come back. But Elisa, they'll reenact this. That's his first answer. The
Chazon Ish. Can I have from Matan Torah again?
No, that's no. You're not gonna have Kriyas Yamsuf of Matan Torah again, because that would be silly. Because like we're not enslaved to Paro, that would be silly to reenact Kriyas Yamsuf. We're not we already have the Torah. It would be silly to get the Torah again once we already have it. However, Lamaisa people have to get dressed anyway. I mean, Lamaisa, why is not silly? Aaron and his sons have to get dressed to work in the Beis HaMikdash anyway. So it's not silly that instead of dressing themselves, Moshe will get to dress them for special Chavivos. That's not silly, because they have to get dressed anyway. Chazon Ish has a second day where he says, maybe also this is only the Havamim that this would happen. But in the Maskan of the Mizbar Krai, we retract and we say it's not going to happen, Lasid Lavo. Okay, but he still is explaining the Havamim, and he just says, it could be that in the end we retract this and it's not going to happen, Lasid Lavo. Okay, but this is the fundamental Hakir Ratzchias HaMeisim. Are you going to be the same person, or are you going to be a different person? L'chori, this could have many, many nafkaminos for other things. When it comes to Tchias HaMeisim, are you going to keep your attributes in this life or are you not? But we'll
also,
leave it at that.
There's a massive hefsek or massive tumah because they were dead. It's the same person, but they have to get back. Not that there's something new, but they're
who
were dead.
Who knows how to take a picture of the board? Best is straight. Morty says maybe because they were dead and they had a massive tumah, it's different. Nah, even if a Kohen had a massive tumah, he just isn't. I don't think that fundamentally changes the status. He just has to have paraduma. The fact they have Tumas Mace doesn't bother me. Tumas Mace doesn't bother me. Okay. Now I want to get what? The fact
that people have to remarry
the Hefsek is a problem in Kahuna. Hefsek is a problem because of Mason. Hefsek isn't a problem with kahuna. I don't understand. What if there's a kohen who just didn't do anything kahuna for 70, 80, 100 years? It doesn't bother anyone. Lachor doesn't bother anyone, right? What if it turns out we discover that your great-great-grandfather was a kohen and no one did anything in the last 200 years? Doesn't bother anyone. I mean, I understand that's a different kind of hefsek, but I don't think a hefsek bothers us. Okay, now let's just get to one other question, which is...
According to the Ramban, will people have to remarry their wives after Tchias HaMeisim?
There was a halbasha.
Which husband will she marry?
No, the halbasha was part of us Mekadesh. Now, I think they're understanding they'll have to do the other parts also. I don't think they're reminding she'll only have to do a halbasha Lashon Lavo. They'll have to do the whole thing Lashon Lavo, including the halbasha. Okay, do people have to read Mekadesh their wives Lashon Lavo, according to the Ramban? Look, or yes, if there's going to be marriage Lashon Lavo.
Forget about that. What about the woman? Which husband is she married to?
Yeah, that's a little tricky. Meaning, if you're not a new person according to the Chazanish, then what if a woman's married to two men, etc.? Okay, you know what? We'll work on it. That okay? It doesn't really bother me. No, that doesn't bother me at all. What if a woman's married to two men? Because Mimanisha, if the first husband divorced her, so the first husband divorced her. Obviously, she's not married to him anymore. And if the first person husband died, what does the first mishnah say in kedushin? Kones asma begetter misabal. Pasha mishnah in kedushin. It's not just that the husband happens to be dead. There's a kinyan when he's dead. There's a halos of Pnuya that's called when he's dead. So therefore, she'd stick with the most recent husband because the first husband either died or divorced her, and those are mafkia ishos. Again, I'm not getting into this now. We discussed a little during the year. The assumption the husband dies is not just that you have a hechitimsi that he's not available, but that it's a formal hafka of the ishos, which is the pashup shot in the first mishnah in Kiddushin. Okay, Viter. Now, I want to deal with, for a second, the havami and the maskana of my dahava hava, versus the Mizbar Kroni. Right? At first, the Gemara says, my Dhamava, who cares about things that are not halacha l'maisa? Right? Don't learn things that aren't halacha l'maisa. Yeah, they don't mean chas v'shalom, don't learn zvachim and menachos and yoma. No, there's halacha l'maisa, mehiri banabi samikta. They mean don't learn things that are not halacha l'maisa, because by definition, they were only temporary a long time ago. Then the Gemara answers, no, do learn them. Nothing to do with Lashon Lavo. Do learn them. Just want to know what happened 3,300 years ago because the Mizbar Kroni. What does the Mizbar Kroni mean? So there seem to be two pshatim on what the Mizbar Kroni means. The Mizbar Kroni, right? What do we mean by Mizbar Kroni? Says Rashi, Lemisbar Kroi, give me a second, here we are, Dilo Lirmua Doidi, to avoid the contradiction, so the Tzukim shouldn't contradict themselves, because in the commandment in Shmos Chav Tes, it says, you put the Avnin on Aaron and his sons at once, but in the fulfillment, in Vayikra Perikhet, it says that he put the Avnin on Aaron, the whole series, then put the Avnin on his sons. So it's the answer, contradiction of Sukkim. The Ritva here says the same thing. He says, that says Rashi. And the Ritva, they say, Stira in the Sukkim. The Mizbar Kroi means to answer a Stira in the Sukkim. However, who seems to disagree and have a broader understanding of the words of the Mizbar Kroi? Anyone? Is there anyone who seems to take the words of the Mizbar Kroi a little more broadly? So, says Tosos and Sanhedrin. Says Tosos and Sanhedrin. Short Sinai bit comma. Right? The Gemara asks, how many judges do you need to stone an animal that went up on Har Sinai and broke the border? Right? Short Sinai bit comma. Morty, can you hear me?
You're fading in and out.
Hear you.
Okay. Says Tosfos Sanhedrin, why are they asking? So the Gemara, Short Sinai bit comma. The Gemara says, Tosfos says, they're asking, do you need 3 or 23 dayanim to kill the shore that went up on Har Sinai? Ask Tosfos. Ask Tosfos. Why are they asking this question? And better yet, in Taniyos. Oh, 1 second. Hold on half a second. Says Tosos, why do they ask how many judges you need to kill the shore on Har Sinai? So Tosos answers, well, why do you need to answer what Moshe wore during the Shemini Miluim, what garments he wore for Avoda? The answer is Shemini Barle le Misbar Kroi. Maybe you need a Misbar Kroi. Tosos answers, you know why you need to know how many judges you need to stone an ox that went up to Har Sinai? Le Misbar Kroi, to explain the pasuk. Now, what does he mean here by to explain the pasuk? There's no, is there a contradiction in the pasukim? Is there a problem in the pasukim? Over here, there's a problem in the pasukim. Le Misbar Kroi. Tosa says, why do you need to know how many dayanim you need to judge the shore at Har Sinai? Le Misbar Kroi. No problem, the pasukim. The pasukim says stone an ox. No problem. I mean, you're just working on halachic details. It seems to me that Tosos in Sanhedrin has a broader understanding of the phrase Le Misbar Kroi. He says it doesn't mean only the answer is steer in the pasukim. It means to explain anything connected to pasukim, meaning theoretical Talmud Torah of anything connected to the Torah, right? Says Tosos, anything connected to something mentioned in pasukim. Okay, maybe that's a little broad of a formulation, but the point is he's not saying Misbar Kroi means to answer a contradiction. There's no contradiction when they ask, you know, how many dayanim do you need to stone the ox that might have gone up on Har Sinai, if one ever did. It just means to explain something that has to do with pasukim, right? Theoretical Talmud Torah. So here already we have a hint at a very fundamental machlokas. What does the mitzvah of Talmud Torah include? Does the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, now one thing is very clear, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah includes all halachas, whether they apply to us right now or not. That's clear. No one's going to say there's no mitzvah of Talmud Torah to know Zvachim, because right now there's no Beis HaMikdash, because there could be a Beis HaMikdash. No one's going to say there's no mitzvah to learn Maseches Sanhedrin, because we don't have smicha, because there could be smicha. But how about things that just, not things that aren't immediately relevant. That clearly the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. How about things that aren't relevant at all? Things that aren't relevant at all. Is there a mitzvah of Talmud Torah or not? Is there a mitzvah of Talmud Torah in things that have no relevance whatsoever or not? It seems to be that this is the, this is right. Talmud Torah. Right, what's the Hakira? What is worth learning? Only things that are Halacha L'maisa. Halachic, relevant questions. Again, I don't mean they have to be relevant right now. They have to be relevant, at least if Mashiach comes, if there was Beis HaMikdash, if there was Smich, etc. Or, what? I have to say, or resolving Stirot in Pesukim. You have to say, no, Pesukim are different. Why are Pesukim different? Because you have to know Pshan and Pesukim whether they're halachically relevant or not. That's the whole point of Torah Shebichtav. So whether it's halachically relevant or not, you have to know V'achot Lotan Timna, right? You have to know Pesukim whether, you have to know what the Pesukim mean, whether it's halachically relevant or not. And part of what the Pesukim mean is resolving contradictions. But that doesn't include any question you could have that relates to something mentioned in a Pesuk that's interesting. That's not part of Talmud Torah. Or do you say no? That, or do you say that no? anything halachically, anything, even anything in Torah about Torah, even if not halachically relevant, Lidoros. This is a famous machlokes. It's not famous from our sugya. It's a famous machlokes in Rashi and the Rosh in Chulin Daf Yud Zayin. The Gemara asked the following question. Asked the Gemara, a vare basar nechira. There's a special heter called basar nechira. That the, it's machlokes tanoim, but I think this is Dave Rabbi Akiva, if I'm not mistaken, that in the midbar they could eat without shechting. Okay, in the midbar they could eat without shechting. And once they went to Eretz Yisrael, then they had to shecht. So, how about unshechted meat that they brought into Eretz Yisrael with them? Right, it's like on the borderline. Right? Right, like nowadays, right? Everyone, quick, go to the beach before the new Hanchaya comes into effect. Right? So, quick, kill all your meat without shechting it right before you cross the border, right? Do they get grandfathered or not? So that's the Gemara asked in the second school in a very buster nechira, etc., that they brought into Eretz Yisrael. Are they still kosher or do they turn treif when you go into Eretz Yisrael? So the obvious question is, who cares? It's not relevant nowadays. What does it have to do? What does it have to do with anything? Excuse me. What does it have to do with anything nowadays? After all, we don't have a very buster nechira shechnisa yisraelim ala aretz mahu. Right? So, what's the difference? It's not relevant. So what does Rashi say there? Says Rashi, it's not relevant.
Drosh v'kabel. Rashi,
exactly. Drosh v'kabel. Drosh v'kabel schar. Rashi says, dot, dot, dot. Drosh v'kabel schar who should shetzrichen on lamed al ha'emes v'af v'shikvar over. We have to know the truth even though it already passed. Yeah, not the truth of psukim, of stiras and psukim. Just the truth of, it's a true halachic question. It's not a relevant halachic question, right? So, what's the nafkaminas? One is chulin yedzayin. Lama shalu al din basar nechira v'chuli. Says Rashi, drosh v'kabel schar. Drosh v'kabel schar. No. Drosh, and he has a great line here. What's his line? His line is again, Shrichen on Lamed al ha'emeth. Did Shrichen, we have to know the truth. It doesn't matter if it's relevant. We have to know the truth. Says the Rosh back to Rashi. What does the Rosh say to him? The Rosh says, a kasher from our Gemara. Says the Rosh, no. Only the Misbar Krai you're allowed to learn, so you're allowed to spend your time learning things that are buried in the sands of the past and are no longer relevant. But to have any buy in the Shas of something that's not necessary, we don't have. And that's, he quotes, it says the Rush. Yes, only the Misbar Krai, says the Rush. Says the Rush, no, exactly. Only halakhically relevant things or the Misbar Krai. And this is not the Misbar Krai. He's obviously interpreting the Mizbar Krai as resolving contradictions, right? So, what does the Rush say? The Rush says, nope, it's not a steer in the psukim, it's not halakhically relevant, can't be. So why does the Gemara ask the Ibaya? Is Mechadish the Rush? No, this Ibaya is halakhal maisa. How is this halakhal maisa? Someone says that I won't... Here it's again a little tricky. Something like, you know, you have to figure out exact case, right? Let me give a suggestion without committing myself in terms of halacha l'maisa and the discussion of the acronym, etc. The guy says, you know, I won't eat any Chinese vegetables, you know, starting, you know, next Tuesday. So what if he already has in his house on next Monday? Can he still eat it? But then it's already his, it's grandfathered, it's mutter. Or no, still from China, he still can't eat it. Or a better example is, if Bezdin makes a gzera, let's say Bezdin makes a gzera in Gvinas Akum. Gvinas Akum used to be much of the after Gvinas Akum. does that, and someone already owns Genius Akum, does it become usher now, or are they grandfathered and they can still eat what they already have? Basically, he says there's not, it's not a really nibai about Boston or Chira 3,300 years ago. It's really, says, Nafgamina, Bizman Azel, just give a second one, Leneder, oh, give both, or Gzeira, Chadasha, Haim Nasar, Mashek Farnimtsa, Birshusa, right? Grandfather clause. Dude, does what you already have get grandfather or not? Meaning one day they made the Xerox Venus Akum. I don't know what day it was, although the Gemara actually tells us around when it happened. One day they made the Xerox Venus Akum. On that day, if I already have Venus Akum in my house, is it usher or not? That was the really Baya, real Nafkamina Lamaisa. Okay, so this is the Machlok, seen the Rush and Rashi. Does any buy in the Gemara, is it worthwhile, even if it's totally irrelevant, just because you need to know the truth, whether relevant or not, Rashi? Or no, it's only worthwhile if it has some relevance, or it's to answer a contradiction in Pesukim. And this comes across in a few other places as well, obviously. Now, what's interesting here is that Tosfos Sanhedrin basically says, anything connected to anything is already called the Mizbar Krai. So it's obvious that he would hold like Rashi. Right? Because that's already included in the Mizbar Krai. Those people say the Mizbar Krai is a steer in the Psukim, you could go either way. The Rush says the Mizbar Krai is a steer in the Psukim, and you're only allowed to ask.
The Mizbar Krai, he says the Mizbar Krai means anything theoretical. But Rashi calls this Rosh V'Kabbal's Trar, but not the Mizbar Krai. Rashi says this is not the Mizbar Krai, but it's still Rosh V'Kabbal's Trar. You could say it's, you can learn theoretical irrelevant things because of the Mizbar Krai, that's what the Mizbar Krai means, that's Tosfos. Or you could say Hedra, or you could say no, the Mizbar Krai means steer us in Sukkim, but you can still learn irrelevant things. That's Rosh V'Kabbal's Tzar, where you say it's Rosh. No, the Mizbar Krai steers in Sukkim. You're only allowed to learn halacha l'maaseh or steers in Sukkim. You shouldn't learn things that are not halacha l'maaseh, not steers in Sukkim.
Isn't the Gemara and Chul, isn't the Machlokas Rashi and the Rosh and Chulin much more narrow? They're really arguing about Iboyas in the Gemara. When the Gemara has an Iboya, does it have to be something that has relevance or not? With respect to the general question of Talmud Torah, do you think the Rush would think that learning Parshios and Bereishis that have nothing to do with Halacha isn't a key in Talmud Torah?
No. Okay, so here, what I might have to say is that maybe we have to go a little further in the Mizbar Sukkim. Maybe... Because what are you saying? The Rush is going to say learning Chumash is not. So I'd say the Spheres of Sukkim or Pshat of Sukkim. No, it's Spheres or Pshat of Sukkim. But the Rush would say, of course you should learn Sukkim, learn Pshat of Sukkim. Of course you should answer the Kashas of Sukkim. But just the Stam have non-possible based bios. That's what I mean. Just Stam halachic questions. Some halachic questions about things that are irrelevant, that only happen once and never happen again.
That's what the Rush would say is
irrelevant. So, you know, maybe I could say this a little better. You know, pshat or stiros im sukim or halachos that are applicable, or halachos that are applicable. Here, let's say applicable. But the Rosh Hashanah, of course, they're learning Chumash. But stam halachos, like what's it in a bus and a chira, this and that, that's not worth learning.
So really, the machlokis Rashi and Chulin.
What Effie? Nothing. My Dehava Havu was rejected by the Mizbar Krai. Everything is relevant to the end. My Dehava Havu was only in the Havmin of our Gemara. Meaning Tosas Sanhedrin, I really think I think he rejects the concept of Maida Hava Hava. That's what I think. I think he thinks there is no Maida Hava Hava in the end. Because he says, like, knowing how many judges you need to judge the ox and Har Sinai is our cry. So what's left to be Maida Hava Hava? I think nothing. I think that's exactly the point. I think the point is that we never say Maida Hava Hava. Isn't that exactly what Rashi is saying in Chulin? We have to know the MS regardless. Drosh Kabal Sar, there's never a Maida Hava Hava. No, Rashi's talking about not what happened, what the halacha would be if they brought in we don't know if they brought in a very bas nechira. Could they eat it or not? If they brought in bas nechira with them, by the time they were through it, they have to keep it for many years to have a good enough gemina, because during the 7 years of wartime, there's a special heter. Well, actually, no, that's the guy, it could be the ones they had. Sorry. Okay, lo mishana.
But aren't they really two different issues? The issue in Chulin is a different issue from the issue of Mizbar Kroy.
What bracha did they make on the man?
No, I think that's a great example. Right, Yosef brings up, what bracha did they make on the man? That's the psukim as much as how many judges you need to kill the ox in Har Sinai. And certainly as much as a very basar nechira. As there is more in the psukim than a very basar nechira. The man, at least, it says they ate it. We want to know what bracha they made. The basar nechira never even says they ate it. Right? So I think that's exactly. Should you have a sefer about what bracha they made on the man? Rashi would say yes. We have to know the emes, whether it's relevant or not. Drosh v'kabel schar. And I think Tosfos would say the same thing. Tosfos would say that's called the Mizbar Krai. What do you mean? It says they ate man. What bracha did they say? That's the Mizbar Krai. And the Rush would say no. The Rush would say that's irrelevant. The Rush would say ma patom. I think that's exactly it. You know, I know in yeshiva circles nowadays, it's makubal to ask what bracha they made on the mud. Yeah. But I think that's machlokas. I think the Rush would obviously disagree.
You have to find a way to tie it back to the stuff you need to
Okay. So anyway, so that's a great example. Should you write a sefer on what bracha they made on the man? I'm not sure if it's a sefer. They're just chapters on it. Yes, Shmuel.
What we're doing now in Nishurim, practically not a lot of it is halacha l'maase, but because it's regarding halachic topics, would the Rosh agree too?
Yeah, the Rosh would certainly agree that even things which only apply when there's a Beis HaMikdash, etc.
I mean lamdas. In a different truth all and far.
No, so learn this about things that are halacha l'maase l'doros. Everyone would agree that you should learn.
Even though we're not practically learning halacha.
Yes. Okay, now I just want to put a few other things.
Just another Rabbi Banner.
Let's free talk and then whoever was just talking. The Rush where? What? Okay, the truth is you're right. We should go and figure out like what they each say about Talmud Torah and other places. Okay, you have to be dyking the Lusha, so I'm not sure. Could be, but I have to see the Lusha. So I think Rashi would say, our Gemara's not saying it's only relevant in the Mizbar Krai. Our Gemara is saying it happens to be in the Mizbar Krai. But even if it wasn't in the Mizbar Krai, they could have said Drosh v'Kabel Schar. I admit it's not Meduyak in Rashi. It's not a Kasha in Rashi. It's not Meduyak. Rashi here says the Mizbar Krai to resolve a Stira. But he could have said Drosh v'Kabel Schar. Right, so I think those are different. Even the Rush admits that we say Drosh v'Kabel Schar by Irani Dachlan and Sormor, because theoretically it could happen nowadays, just unlikely. Meaning when it says ben sormor lohayvlo nifra and irni daf lohayvlo nifra, it doesn't mean that it's not applicable. It just means it's highly unlikely. So highly unlikely, everyone would agree, right? Liat.
The Aguda says in our Gemara, he explains the Mizbar cry as actually the machloke di avnit koin gadol zeu de koin hediot. So it sounds to me that he's going like the Rosh. You need a very, very significant nafkamina.
Okay, I didn't see this. Liad quotes that the Sefer Aguda here has a new shot on the Mizbar cry. He says, what does the Mizbar cry mean? The Mizbar cry means what the Gemara is going to say at the top of the Fabim and Aleph. Whether the avnate of the coin guddle the same as the coin head yod or not, meaning what material do you make the avnate of a coin head yod out of? In which case, it's mamash halachal mais ladoros. In which case, maybe he thinks you should only ask things that are halachal mais ladoros. Okay, that's wild, right? According to that, limizbar kray means something that's mamash halachal mais ladoros. Okay, I didn't see that. Good, but you're right. According to that, maybe we should only ask about things that are the halachal mais ladoros and not even steer them sukkah. Okay, good. Let me just mention a few other cases.
One last thing. Do you think that Tosfos on our Amud is agreeing with Rashi here? Because the Tosfos on our Amud is pointing out that we're saying Ma'idah Bahava here, but we're not saying it somewhere else.
Okay, Tosfos is pointing out why do we say it here, why do we not say elsewhere? I don't think he's saying anything.
You can read it as a question, or you can read it more as a statement.
Okay, fair. It's hard to know for sure. Right, maybe what it's supposed to say, they don't ask in Sanhedrin. Maybe what he means.
You can say it's not a stira, whereas Limizbar Krai specifically means a stira by the shore, it's not a stira, and so it fits with Rashi's explanation that this phrase specifically is used by stira.
No, for sure they should have asked. Then Kulshigan they should have asked because they didn't even have an answer. No, I don't think you can go that way. Okay, let's just mention briefly, how about some other case where the Gemara doesn't ask it? For example, why did the Gemara not ask about Shor Sinai Bekama? Right? Sanhedrin, this is Tesvav, right? Lama Shalu Shor Sinai Bekama, meaning how many Dayanim do you need to stone the shore from Har Sinai? After all, it's not relevant nowadays, right? It's old news at this point. So why did they ask about Shor Sinai Bekama? And you could likewise ask about Tainus Yad Alpha and Beis. And of Odazara Lamadalad Amid Aleph about, let's even put that first. Sorry, I apologize. Tainus Yod Aleph Amid Beis, Avodazara, I think I said Lamadalad Amid Aleph or something. Lama Shalu Bameh Shimesh Moshe Vechuli. Why did they ask what clothing Moshe wore in Shivas Meim Yiluim? So, valid question, right? Why did they ask what clothing Moshe wore in the Shivas Yimei Hamiluim? So, here, it's funny. Tosfos in different places answers different things. Basically, Tosfos in both places says the Mizbar Krai. In Chagigah, he says the Mizbar Krai. In Sanhedrin, he says the Mizbar Krai. I'm not sure if I know what other people answer to this question. I haven't seen the other Rishonim as bothered by this, right? But this could work either way. You could say Lemizbar Krai because it's a real stira. How is it a stira in Psukim? Because the Psukim say that. So this is not really such a good enough Kamina. You could say Lemizbar Krai because it's a real stira in Psukim because the Psukim say that you need big day kahuna to serve. Yet the Psukim say that Moshe served. So it's taka stira in the Psukim. Like you're reading the Psukim. You have to do the Avodah. I mean, you kaddish the Big Day Kahuna because you can't do Avodah without Big Day Kahuna. So Taka's a good question. So what did he do? So that's a steer in the Psukim. Or you could just say, and I'll say in a moment what I think is the difference, that this is, no, just Nicha, because it's a good theoretical question. What did Moshe wear in the Shiris to make me do it? I think that this is the opinion of Tosfos and Sanhedrin. Why? Because he says, this and the Shor Sinai make perfect sense. Lemizbar Krai. And this is the opinion, I think, of Tosfos and Chagiga. Why? Because Tosfos and Chagiga says, this is a good answer for Moshe, but it's not a good answer for the Shor and Har Sinai. Why? Because the Shor and Har Sinai is not a contradiction of Sukkim, but Moshe is a contradiction of Sukkim. I'll prove to you what I mean by this by over here. Sanhedrin Testimony of Aleph, Lama Shalu, Shor Sinai Bekama. Why did they ask Shor Sinai Bekama? So, here, this is Nicha. Tosos in Sanhedrin says Lemizbar Krai. This is called Lemizbar Krai, even though it's not a contradiction in Psukim, which also, even if Moshe wouldn't be a contradiction in Psukim, Lemizbar Krai is no problem. Or Rashi and Chulin doesn't say here Drosh Vikabel Schar, but the Chedush Ran in his second Deya, right there in Sanhedrin, says in his first Deya, I apologize, Drosh Vikabel Schar. Chidushi Haran, Teiritz Rishon, Drosh V'Kabel Schar. Okay, you can call Drosh V'Kabel Schar. You can have an expanded definition of Mizbar Krai. That's Nicha. But what if you say that it's not valid? It's silly to ask halachic questions that are not applicable nowadays. Then you just have to come up with another answer for Shor Sinai Bekama. What's the other answer you're going to come up with for Shor Sinai Bekama? So there are many answers. What are some of the answers given? Tosin Chagiga. And that's why I think that Tosin Chagiga, even though he says the same thing about Moshe's clothing that Tosin Hedrin does, he means something different. Because Tosin Chagiga doesn't think he called the Lemizbar Krai. What does Tosin Chagiga say? He says that there's a Havamina, right? Savar meaning Havamina. They thought that Svira la Lufei Doros Misha, right? Savra la lufe doros misha means, what do you mean doros misha? The havamina is that however many judges you need for the shor in Har Sinai, that's how many judges you need for a shor in Niskal who kills someone nowadays. Meaning, havamina denafkamina v'shor nogeach, right? Or the other shor in Niskals. The Me'iri in his first or second day, I always forget. The Me'iri in Sanhedrin in his second day, has a big fetish, says the Me'iri in his second Deya. He says, you know what the Nafkamina is? The Nafkamina is not just Havamina. There is a Nafkamina b'zman hazeh. Nafkamina b'zman hazeh l'shor hanichnas l'beis hamikdash. He has a big fetish. The same din of Sokol Yisokel Yoro Yore in Beimayim Ishlo Yechyeh, that a shore that went on to Har Sinai is Chayav Skila, even nowadays, a shore that goes into the Beis HaMikdash, or even Shiloh in the old days, and the Mishkan in the old days, shore that goes into the Mishkan, nowadays only Beis HaMikdash, is Chayav, and you want to know how many, Chayav Misa, and you want to know how many judges you need to judge him. So it is an Afkamina nowadays. He has to make a Chiddush, a din that's not Mefurish and Shas, right? This din is not Mefurish and Shas. He quotes from a Yerushalmi, but the Yerushalmi says that this din applies even to the Beis HaMikdash. I'll be Yerushalmi, the assumption of the Bible uses the Yerushalmi. Then here, this, I always thought this was a silly yeshivisha thing. And then I realized that you're not allowed to say that anymore because it's Mefurish Ran and the Me'iri. How about the Me'iri's second answer? And no, the Me'iri's first answer and the Ran's second answer. So the Me'iri's second answer is the Me'iri's first answer, the Ran's second answer, cheats a little. They say, you know what? You're only allowed to ask Yibayi that have an Afkamina nowadays. But what's an Afkamina nowadays? What? Nidarim, right? Okay, in Yeshiva's belt nowadays, sometimes they say get in recognition, same idea. An Afkamina nowadays, if someone says, I'm a Nazir on condition that the Shor Sinai needs 23 Dayanim. Or the Me'iri says, I'm going to fast. Or here it says, I'm going to donate to Tzedakah $1,000 for each dayan that you needed to kill the shor in Har Sinai. It's an afkamina for Nedarim. Of course, everything is an afkamina for Nedarim, right? This way, they're sort of having their cake and eating it too. Basically, you can ask any theoretical question which is not applicable nowadays, because everything is applicable nowadays, because you don't always make it a tnai in your neder. Okay, so that is sort of like in between, right? I always thought this was like something invented nowadays by like yeshivish people who want excuses. But no, apparently it's one day in the Ran and the Me'iri, right? This is a, I hesitate to call it in between. It's more like have your cake and eat it too, right? Have your cake and eat it too. Meaning, oh, of course you only discuss theoretical things that are not applicable. Only things that are halakha l'maisa. But everything is halakha l'maisa if it's a tanai in your neder, right? What do they basically say? Here is the Me'iri in his first teretz and the Chidushei Haran in his second teretz. They basically say everything is halacha lemaisa bizman hazeh, if it's, not if it's, because it could be a tnai
include science and a neder and every subject.
And in which case, that's an interesting question, right? That Shmuel asked, then it should also be important to ask questions about the French Revolution. Because after all, what if a guy says, Arat Mugadeshisli, Al Manas, that the first person guillotined was King Louis? It should, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You know, Ein L'Dever Sof. So obviously, it's a good question. Obviously, we wouldn't go that far. Meaning, I don't think anyone would say, you know, even when, you know, even when Murray Lamb got in trouble once for saying something that sounded a little like it's a mitzvah Talmud Torah to learn science. He wouldn't have gone this far. He wouldn't have said, of course you have to know what was the title of Madonna's first album. Because what if someone says, you know, Harim Gudeshisli Almanas, you know, that her first, that Madonna's first album had 10 tracks on it. You have to know the names of all the songs. Okay, that's, even if one
also, what's the, what, according to this, what's the question of my Dhamma?
That's obviously ridiculous. So I look over what the Chidush Iri would say is that, no, it needs to be, it's not that it's important to learn only because it could be a Tanai in the Dara. Because then in the Dara itself, you should have to know all of Trivial Pursuit. Rather, what they mean to say is it is something found in the Torah. But what's important to learn is this in the Torah. This is a Tanai that has to be in the Torah and applicable halacha l'maisa. So this fulfills the tanai of applicability halacha l'maisa, but it still needs to be about the Torah, right? The applicability halacha l'maisa is the tanai. You have to start with it being about the Torah. So if something's about Trivial Pursuit, even if you fill the tanai, it doesn't matter because it's not about Torah in the first place. Something's about Torah, you only need the tanai of being applicable l'maisa, and therefore it's worthwhile to learn it. Okay, so this is a very, very fascinating machlokes when it comes to the nature of, perhaps something very basic, about the nature of Talmud Torah.
According to that answer, what's the question of my Dahavahava? Meaning that
according to the Chidush Anan Me'iri, why do they ask my Dahavahava? After all, Nafkamina for Nedarim.
And then what's the answer also?
And what's the answer, Mizbar Krai? So you have to say the same thing we said for Rashi. The answer was the Mizbar Krai, but they could have also answered Nafkamina for Nedarim. They just happened to have a better answer. But if they didn't answer Mizbar Krai, they would have answered Nafkamina for Nedarim. That's what you have to say. I mean, they didn't need to say the Mizbar Krai. They could have said Nedarim. Just if you can say the Mizbar Krai, you might as well, because it sounds, because, you know, it's an even better sounding answer. Okay, I apologize due to our, the many sins of our generation. We got a little stuck with technology and we are far, far behind where we should be, but it's already well past 1 o'clock. So, all right, you know what? We will get extra star for, even though the Sutton's coming and ruining our technology, we try to learn Maseches Yoma as best we can. So I think we're going to have to pick up, Amir Tashem. I apologize to everyone that, you know, maybe we will not get one blot less far in the Maseches than we would have because of coronavirus. Amir Tashem, you know, this should be the only block that we lose because of coronavirus. And we'll have to pick up next time with, we didn't even finish up this Gemara. Much less start with the next very, very fascinating, interesting, intriguing Gemara. So we'll have to pick up Mir Tzashem, I'm sorry to say, next time. Because the hours.
So what does that mean? You next time you're going to do the Ritva Tosos Harosh?
I'm going to briefly run through that second line of number one, very briefly. I'm not going to analyze it. And then I'm going to go to number two. So basically, I'm going to briefly run through the end of number one and start with number two. And maybe we'll just give more makos to expand on some of the fascinating inyanim that are found in number two. Yes, question.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we should continue learning Yoma and Elul Zman as well.
So someone said maybe we should continue learning Yoma and Elul Zman. It would be so appropriate, but within the Marechet, I'm not sure it's going to happen. But so Yoni asked, how could Tosa say we're learning Doros from Shah when the whole Gemara's question is Ibai if you learn Shah from Doros? Tosa says Svirlu, meaning when they first asked the question, they thought we learned Doros from Shah, and then quickly they realized not that so and turned 180 degrees. But we started the question because of this is what we thought. Yeah. Anything we're going to say, that's what we thought until the next line. That's why the Meiri's better. The Meiri's saying, no, really is an Afkamina. Really is an Afkamina. Not an Afkamina for Shor HaNogeach or for the Shor HaRoveah or Nirba, the classic Shor HaNiskel. But an Afkamina for a new kind of Shor HaNiskel found in the Yerushalmi. And that's when Shor HaMidoros, meaning the Shor of Har Sinai, from the Doros of Shor HaNiskel of normal Halacha, and then from the Shor of Har Sinai, the Doros of that weird case of a Shor that runs uninvited into the Beis HaMikdash. Obviously not a Shor that's invited to the Beis HaMikdash. That's called the Karban, right? There has to be a Shor that runs uninvited into the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. I mean, I know it's still a little Doros. Then he's turning Shor into Doros when they call the Shor. But the other option is just to say, just to be more expansive in your Talmud Torah, which is fine with me. It's just Machlokes are showing him. Or to pull the shtick of the Kedusha around in the Meiri in one day. Obviously, they weren't totally comfortable with this shtick, so they have two answers, right? So why do they have two answers? Because one answer, they're not so comfortable with because it's a shtick. And the other answer is not a shtick, but it may or may not, work philosophically or work technically. Okay.
Could I ask a question about Reborn?
One second. Let's see. Ask a question, then Shmuel. Why? No, that's the point. That's what I was saying. Torah Shebichtav, of course we should learn. That's why I changed my mind and put it first. No, because the rest thing is this. Within the Torah Shebichtav, Ibayot El Chatiyot, it's obviously learning Torah Shebichtav. That goes without saying. Tamach Chacham doesn't know Chav Dalet Svarim lives nowadays. But it's obviously in Torah Shebichtav. With any bayot of chatiyot of the pilpul of Torah Shebichtav, then it's only okay if we can tie it back to Torah Shebichtav strongly, or if it's halacha lemaisa. No, because he's not really about Torah Shebichtav. He's saying here it is a little more. No, so I guess the point is because wasn't it obvious this is always about how to read the psukim? So maybe the answer is it wasn't obvious this is always about reading the psukim. I don't know. I mean, why wasn't it obvious that it was an issue of how to read the psukim? The answer is I'm not sure. Maybe at first they thought the question, meaning at first maybe they didn't even actually know what the question was. Ketel Bishan. Maybe at first they didn't realize the question was a problem of the psukim. Maybe they thought it was a different question about Ketel Bishan. It's not clear to me when they first have the word Ketel Bishan what they think the question is. So I think we can find something. No, but that's Ladoros. Anyone who achieves the Madrega of Yochum and Zakkai would have to pay for the birds. Right. Well, that's the famous Chassid Misnagid joke, right? What's the difference between a Chassid and a Misnagid? They learn the Gemara of Yochum and Zakkai, the bird, and the Chassid Mistolf, and the Heiliger of Yochum and Zakkai. And the Misnagid is, so does he pay Nezek Shalim? Does he pay Chassi Nezek? Okay, Kayadua. You're a Misnagid, so you don't like that joke. You're like, yeah, that's true. The Misnagid's right. What's the Chassid wasting his time for? Shmuel.
Regarding Griboy and Shicha, so two Shurim ago we gave three explanations why one Gemara says, Harapapo says Avadatoa, Mechanchato works with the Gemara that says you need at least minimum Griboy and Shicha. From what I understand, either it's in the footnotes or printed in the Rav Soloveitchik and Dafid Bet, he doesn't seem to say any of those. It doesn't seem to have any chiluk between Yom Kippur and the rest of the year. It seems to say that Rav Papa is saying that over the Torah is always Mechem Chato. So how could he say something like that?
Meaning, why is the Rav not bothered by the question of how could Avodah Zarah be Mechan Chasso if you don't have Riboy and Mashicha? Why? How could the Rav not be bothered by that, is what you're asking.
Right.
How could the Rav not be bothered by that? I'm not sure. The only thing I could think of is that, you know, it's just not what he was dealing with right then. You know, that maybe if you ask him theoretically, he would say, that is a good question, and give you an answer. But that wasn't what he was interested in talking about right then. I don't have anything better than that. I recognize that's not, you know, an ideal solution. But that's the best I can do. Okay. Have a good day, everybody.
You too.